Hello, this is the Angry GM, and it is time for a proofread aloud. And this proofread aloud is going to be a little different in structure only because there's a couple of sidebars, which I had to put in weird places due to the formatting. So just to make this whole read aloud flow better, I'm going to read both of the sidebars at the end of the main body of the article rather than in line with the article. And I'm probably going to keep doing that going into the future. But anyway, here is a proofread aloud entitled, How Well Do You Know Your PCs? It's time for a little classic angry game mastering tippage. Today is just going to be a simple little, here's a thing all you game masters should do to run the least worst games possible. I hope that's cool. If it's not, well, you're shit out of luck. This is what I wrote, so it's all there is to read. Like a lot of angry game mastering tippage, today's started as a discussion in my supporter Discord community. The discussion, though, wasn't about the advice I'm going to give. Instead, it just revealed that lots of you are doing sucky jobs as game masters and you need me to help you stop it. The discussion was about pacing combat in Dungeons & Dragons, which is a topic that comes up about 17 times a day in every game mastering forum everywhere. I said, if it's taking you more than an hour to run a combat in D&D, you're doing something seriously wrong and I can't even fathom what it is. And that rustled more than a few jimmies. See, I admit that modern D&D battles run a little on the slow side, but if it's taking you an hour or more of game time to get through an average combat at any level, that ain't on the system anymore. You're effing something up. Stop it. I get that people don't like being blamed for things. Why take accountability when you can blame someone or something else? Sure, accountability empowers you to actually fix things, but accountability hurts and fixing things takes effort. So it's much better to claim victim status. Why can't we just agree that D&D's combats are badly placed and so the only one to blame for you taking 90 minutes to get through a fight is Jeremy Crawford or whoever? It's better to just wallow in shit yelling about who pushed you than it is to stand up and take a shower. As you can imagine, I was not winning friends that day, but it got worse. See, someone who I won't name because I don't pay attention to who says what, you're all just part of the noise to me. Someone said that their big issue was all the reactions and bonus actions in D&D. They lead to a terrible, herky-jerky pace. For one thing, said the complainer, D&D's reactions and bonus actions force you to pause at the end of every turn or action so everyone has a chance to yell, reaction or bonus action. It's kind of like how in Magic the Gathering, you've got to play your Galvanic's Ministration real slow and look around and wait so someone has the chance to throw discontinuous foreseeing on the stack to cancel it or some shit like that. For another, continued the complainer, there's this whole retroactive continuity reaction thing. That's the name I'm giving the problem, by the way. I just lost my place. I hit the wrong button and scrolled away. For another, continued the complainer, there's this whole retroactive continuity thing. That's the name I'm giving the problem, by the way. The supposed problem. Basically, retcon reactions are reactions that change the outcomes of actions whose outcomes you've already started describing. The classic example is the shield spell that lets a wizard retroactively change their armor class after an attack has already hit to make it a miss. So the game master is saying, the hobgoblin's arrow punches into your shoulder. At first, you feel only an impact that nearly drives you off your feet, but then the pain, and suddenly the dumbass player interrupts with, wait, I shield spell the attack. What was the attack roll again? At that point in the discussion, I totally lost my shit. D&D loves its bonus actions and reactions. I get that. It's a pain in the ass. I don't disagree. But it's also one of those things that's massively overstated and totally manageable by any reasonable game master. While it's true there are a lot of bonus actions and reactions available in the rules, the number of them that can actually appear on a character sheet is pretty small. Take spells, for example. A quick survey of the player's handbook. I'm still mostly using the 2014 PHP, but the 2024 PHP is pretty much the same on this front. A quick survey of the player's handbook reveals there's only 10 or so each of bonus action and reaction spells in the core game. The entire core game. Those spells aren't even all available to the same classes. Given that spellcaster classes with the most number of readily available spells can't prepare more spells than they have levels, plus spellcasting modifier, the odds are very slim that a given spellcaster is ready to fling more than one or two bonus action or reaction spells at any gameplay moment. The same's true for class abilities. Lots of classes get signature abilities that let them take bonus actions, but most only get one or sometimes two, and they're all pretty straightforward. Even classes that have a lot of them make it hard to have more than one or two. Like, lots of channel divinity abilities are exclusive to each other. That's all true, even if you include all the you can attack multiple times abilities that are just part of the game's core damage progression and don't often require bonus actions. Hell, it's true even if you include all the weird triggered abilities that aren't reactions, like many of the Battlemaster Fighter's maneuvers. So while lots of D&D characters end up with ways to screw up the action economy pacing and turn order, most don't have more than one or two little surprise pacing bombshells to drop in the game. Therefore, it's totally inexcusable for any of that shit to catch a game master by surprise. If you have a wizard at your table and that wizard has the shield spell in his book, and especially if he has it prepared, you, the game master, have no excuse not to expect it to interrupt any attack or magic missile spell directed at the wizard. Hell, you have no excuse not to say, the attack's a 12. Does that hit your armor class, or do you want to throw up your shield spell and change your AC? I read that completely wrong. I'm having a rough day. Sorry. Hell, you have no excuse not to say, so the attack is a 12. Does that hit your armor class, and do you want to throw up your shield to change your armor class? Likewise, there's never an excuse for you not to say, hey, you didn't use your cunning action. Did you mean to skip it? Even if you're one of those asshole game masters who would never prompt your players like that because it's not your job to help them actually play and win and enjoy the game, you dumbass, you still shouldn't be surprised when the wizard does cast shield. How did you not know that was something the wizard was ready to throw? And that's how I discovered that I'm the only game master who considers it my job to know the characters the players bring to the table. And if you've been wondering why I've been a little quiet the last 2 weeks, it's because I was recovering from a fucking stroke. It's your job to know your players' characters. So, Mr. or Mrs. or Ms. Game Master, how well do you know the player characters you're running a game around? If your answer isn't pretty damned well because I know that's part of the job, you're a bad game master and you should feel bad. Because it is part of the job to know the players' characters at least as well as the players know them, if not more so. Probably more so. Probably a lot more so. Now, I ain't talking about personalities and backstories and motivations and other narrative bullshit like that. None of that crap matters. Don't waste any brain space on that nonsense. That's for the players to worry about. They need it, you don't. I'm also not talking solely to adventure builders here. This whole thing ain't about knowing the characters you're building adventures for. This isn't me talking to homebrewers and mere adventure builders and true scenario designers. I'm talking to all y'all. This is for every true game master and mere game executor and even all y'all just running the latest crap reboot of a reboot of something that used to be a classic D&D adventure, which is, by the way, totally fine. As a game master of any stripe, it is your job to know the characters the players are playing, mechanically. The long rambling introduction revealed one of the important reasons why you should take this job seriously. It's not just about action economy and combat pacing, though. It's about the fact that modern role-playing games of all kinds focus on specialized characters with a lot of gameplay depth built into the character sheets rather than into the core game. Even fairly simple games like Blades in the Dark and the various Powered by the Apocalypse games differentiate characters by moveset, and those movesets are spelled out on the character sheet. Modern tabletop role-playing games are built more like Smash Brothers than Dark Souls or The Elder Scrolls. That's just how it be. Now, I could rant about how screwed up that approach actually is and how it makes it so much harder to run and play modern role-playing games, even the easy ones. It is a pain in the ass when the player's characters all have different moves in mini-games and there's no core moveset at the heart of anything. I need to correct the typo here. But that rant won't change anything, and the fact that games are how they are doesn't stop it from being your job to run the game you're running. You're the game master. You've got to pace your game, adjudicate the actions, and empower the players to play and win the adventure. That's your job. Find a way to do it. Look, character sheets are effectively the player's game controllers. They're the things the players use to interact with the game. Imagine if you were playing a video game and you pressed the right thumbstick and your PlayStation was suddenly all like, what the hell was that? What did you just press? R3? What the hell is R3? You can press the thumbsticks? Well, I'll be damned. Does that mean you have to know the rules for every spell and ability? Of course not. That's what character sheets and spell cards are for. To record important information that you need to reference quickly at the table. I can't tell you how much damage Incendiary Cloud does off the top of my head. It's 10d8, I think. It's either a 10d8 or 8d10. I think it's 8d10, because it's a level 8 spell. Anyway, I'm disproving my point here. My point is, I can't tell you exactly how much damage Incendiary Cloud does off the top of my head. But I can tell you it's a movable cloud of continuous fire damage that allows a dexterity save for half damage. I don't know all the things guards and wards does, but I know it creates a bunch of different effects on a protected building and it takes a while to cast. I can look up the details when I need them, but I know the players might cast it to protect a building. That said, you can bet your fat, hairy ass that I know shield is a reaction spell the caster can use when hit by an attack or magic missile to get a retroactive +5 bonus to armor class for one round, possibly changing the attack outcome, and also block magic missile spells. Now, I don't know that shit because I study the rulebook and memorize all the spells and abilities. I don't expect you to memorize the book either. Honestly, most of the shit in my brain is the result of years and years of osmosis. I've been running games for a lot of years, and the spells stay mostly conceptually the same across editions. I also have a sponge-like brain that sucks in information and keeps it there, but that's an anomaly. I'm weird. Though it did take me a long time to recognize that most people don't memorize every game they play automatically and accidentally. Anyway, the reason I know the shit I know, apart from the osmosis and the years of experience and the brain sponge thing, is because there's a character at one of my current or recent tables that had the ability in question. Because knowing the characters at my table is part of my job as a game master, and studying those characters is part of my game prep. Learning the player characters is part of the prep. Let me say this as cleanly and plainly as I can. It is your job to review your player's characters before you start running a game for them and to re-review them every time those characters change. When you start a campaign, before you actually run a single session, you must collect your player's character sheets or get copies and fully, completely review each and every one. When those characters level up, you need to do the same, or at least you need to review whatever new feats, spells, and abilities got added to the sheet. Now, I know some of you are thinking that I'm telling you to just skim over the character sheet and look at what's there. I know some of you all already do that. That ain't reviewing a character sheet. Reviewing a character sheet means sitting down with it, with the rule books, and with some way to take notes. Me, I use a piece of scratch paper to jot quick notes, and then I type or compile onto a master reference later. And then I type them up. And then I type them up or compile them onto a master reference later. You take notes however you want, but remembering shit isn't taking notes. Taking notes is taking notes. The rule books are there so you can review every ability, feat, and spell on the sheet. Every single last one of them. No matter how well you think you know the system, and no matter how many times you've seen or even used a given spell or ability or whatever, assume you've forgotten something and review it. Do you know how many friggin' times I've read the three paragraphs about sneak attack on PHB 2014, page 96? Enough to know it's three paragraphs without having to check, for one thing. If there's a rogue at my table, I'm reading it again. Why? Because I know I'm human, and I know things fall out of my head, and I know I don't know what I don't remember because I don't remember it. Also, I read it again because I'd like to memorize it. It comes up enough. Now, reading it is just me nodding as I mutter, right, once per turn, finesse a ranged weapon, with advantage or an active ally within 5 feet of a target, no disadvantage, I sure do know this through and through, good for me. Because I can do that without saying, oh, right, I always forget that having disadvantage cancels a sneak attack triggered by an ally within 5 feet of the target. I don't need to do anything more than just reread it. If something did stand out, though, as something I need to remember, well, the notebook or whatever is there for taking notes. You take notes partly so you can bring a quick reference sheet to the table to help you remember things, and partly so you have something to review during your pre-session warm-up ritual. I assume all of you have pre-session warm-up rituals you always do in the 30 minutes before you run a game, right? And partly so you don't actually need the notes or the references. Human brains are infinitely more likely to remember stuff they've written down. That's how they're wired. Note-taking is one of several related tricks you can use to enhance your memory that have to do with engaging multiple pathways simultaneously while taking in information. Another example of a trick is figuring out what sneak attack smells like. Mine smells like leather and peppermint. Now, you don't have to know everything, and you don't have to memorize every rule, but you must be able to adjudicate any action the players are likely to take without cracking a rulebook and without relying on the player to know anything you don't. If you've got a rogue at the table, that player is going to ask, "Is this a sneak attack?" eventually. You have to be able to answer. Sure, you might end up needing to check the book for some weird corner case, but there ain't a lot of corner cases in sneak attacks apart from the "your ally is not a threat to the target" and the "you have disadvantage on the attack," which really aren't that hard to understand and remember conceptually. You have to know the characters well enough to run a game for them. You have to know their class and racial abilities and how they work. You have to know how spellcasting works and how many spells a wizard or cleric can prepare every day. You have to know how action surge and sneak attack and rage and wild shape work, including the weird exceptions. If it ain't something you can rattle off, you need to write down whatever you need to write down to adjudicate the actions the players can take. Make sure you do that. You also need to be ready for anything that throws off the game. If there's anything conditional on a character sheet, anything the player has to look out for, or anything that says when you hit, or if a die shows a 1, or whatever, you need to be on alert for that shit too. Got a halfling? Got a great weapon fighter? List those things. Part of adjudicating the action is saying, hey, you rolled a 2 on that die. As a great weapon fighter, you get to re-roll it. Yes. That's part of your job. Shut up. Likewise, if anyone's got bonus actions or reactions available, you need to know about them too. That affects how you run and pace the game. You also need to be able to prompt your players, and I ain't going to pretend anymore that it's not. Okay. You also need to be able to prompt your players, and I ain't going to pretend anymore that it's not that's not part of your job. That's not part of your job or gerb. That's not part of your job. You also need to be able to prompt your players, and I ain't going to pretend anymore that that's not part of your job. If someone has the shield spell, you need to know that. You can't forget it. In the end, what you want is a list of anything conditional, any optional extra actions, or any triggered reactions. Even if you know how they work, you still want them on the list. You can just write down lucky if, on reviewing, it turns out you remember exactly how it works, including the rule that you absolutely must use the new result. You must make a list. Really, you should have a list of every ability each character has with notes for the abilities you can't rattle off and adjudicate from memory, including every spell, even if there are spell cards at the table, and another separate list or a separate column of every conditional, rule, bonus action, and reaction the players might trigger or take. And that list needs to be updated every time the characters level up. And that's actually it. That's the whole article. That's all my advice. It's that simple. A disciplined review of every character sheet is part of your pre-campaign prep. A list of the shit you need to know to adjudicate every character's actions, including conditional rules, bonus actions, and reactions, is part of the game notes. Reviewing that list is part of your pre-session warm-up. That's it. Except, this isn't really advice. This is instruction. This is me telling you how to do your basic ass job as a game master. This is an optional. Either you're reviewing character sheets as part of your prep and making notes you need to run the game you're running, or you're running games wrong, and maybe that's why you can't pace combats for shit. And that would be the end if not for sidebars. First sidebar, fixing bad character sheets. For reasons I absolutely cannot fathom, some of y'all seem to think that the player's character sheets are their exclusive property and you've got no right to tell them what to record. From this, I can only conclude that some of you are missing key brain lobes. What the actual hell is wrong with your stupid brains? When you're doing this whole character sheet review thing as I've described it, it absolutely is not just your right, but your duty to add any information you want the player to bring to the table. Or, alternatively, to tell your players to add it. Chris, note on your character sheet that your sneak attack damage is +1d6. And Danielle, write down that Sacred Flame deals 1d8 radiant damage and allows a dexterity saving throw. The whole point of a character sheet is to have the character stats at the table. No one's going to remember numerical and mechanical stats, and neither are you. If there's a number or stat you're actually going to need every damned time an ability is used, you get to tell the player to write it down. If Chris says, "Actually, I have it here on my sheet of notes," that's a good answer. If Danielle says, "I have spell cards I intend to bring for my prepared spells," that's also okay. But if someone says, "Nah, I'll remember," you smack them with your player's handbook and then write it on the character sheet for them. I can't believe I have to explain this shit. Sidebar number two. It's a player's job to know the character. Several folks have said to me, or whined at me actually, that it's each player's job to know how to play their own character. Usually it's said in response to me saying, a player has only two jobs. Players must show up, and they must stop acting like assholes when you tell them to stop acting like assholes. That's the beginning and the end of what you can demand from players. You might disagree. You might think it's totally reasonable to demand that players know how all their spells and abilities and feats and shit all work. I don't care. I consider this a wish in one hand, shit in the other, and see which one fills up first kind of thing. Demand what you want. Best of luck to you. Whether or not you think each player must know their own character and the rules inside, frontwise, and upside back, that doesn't mean it isn't also your job. Screaming about player responsibilities doesn't absolve you of your duties. You still have to run the game. You still have to be fully prepared for surprise action economy landmines. You have to be prepared to catch errors when the players make them. And when your players inevitably fail to fulfill your irrational, ill-conceived, dumbass demands, someone has to know the rules, and that someone is you. It always is.